أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Now we will look at the tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf, ayahs 13 to 18. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحن نقص عليك نبأهم بالحق. We narrate upon you or to you their news or story with truth. Now whose news? In the previous lesson, we began learning about the companions of the caves. In that story, ayahs 9 to 12 was an introduction. Now we will look at the details of their story. The disbelievers of Makkah, when they had asked from the people of the book about what to ask from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were told to ask him about the young men of the cave. So the people of the book were familiar with their story, but as a folk tale, and even today they call them the seven sleepers. While they had asked to see if the Prophet ﷺ knew about it, Allah mentions here in great detail what they didn't care to ask about. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that He narrated it with haqq. What does haqq or truth mean in reference to their story? Number one, with truth, it means what Allah narrates about them is the absolute truth. Number two, that it has been narrated with a purpose, not without any purpose. There was a difference of opinion regarding this story among the people of the book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the story with great accuracy, so everyone's confusions are cleared. Subhanallah, this is such a story that if Allah willed, no one would have known about it, or would have remained with the people of the book, as they have many stories regarding saints. But when Allah mentions it in the Quran, and as long as the surah is recited, their story will be remembered. Here we are told, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ. Indeed, they were young men. آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. They believed in their Lord. وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى. And we increased them in guidance. First thing we learn about them is that they were young men, youths. If it was said, إِنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى. Indeed, they believed in their Lord, and their Lord increased them in guidance, it would still make sense. But here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specially mentions that they were youths. Because youth who is devout to Allah is beloved to Allah. On the day of Qiyamah, those who will get the shade of throne of Allah, among the seven types of people, that day when there is no other shade, in them, the fortunate ones will be the youth who worship Allah in their time of youth. Because the time of youth is such that people do not come to Allah, mostly. When people reach old age, they come closer to worship, and the youth is spent in having fun. Very few at this time are those who come close to Allah. This is a wake-up call for the youth. They can become from those who are close to Allah. It's important to have a close connection to Allah at every age. But closeness or nearness to Allah at time of youth is superior to the closeness and being devout at any other age. So they were youth who believed in Allah, and Allah increased them in faith and guidance. From this we learn that faith and guidance can both increase and decrease. So if any person adopts true and sincere faith, Allah increases them in their guidance. From the word zidna. And also one thing to note in this story of young men is that these young men do certain deeds, and then we see a response of Allah in return for their actions. What we can call cause and effect. Something happens, and then there is a certain effect according to it. So they believed, then Allah increased their faith and guidance. We learn Allah increases people in faith and guidance. Guidance is not something stagnant, nor stationary or fixed, but it increases and it decreases. We ask for guidance from Allah so many times every day in our salahs, when we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, but why don't we see an increase in our faith or guidance? This is because one who desires it, Allah increases it for them. This is a very valuable asset. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it mandatory and necessary for it to be asked in every salah. Without reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, in which we ask for guidance, without it there is no salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us to ask for guidance. We need to increase it, so we should keep asking for it. Keep asking, even if we come to old age. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us on the straight path. So the young men believed, then Allah increased them in guidance. We learn that when one has the desire, then Allah increases in guidance. Many people say, we too have the desire to gain guidance and learn Quran. As if one says, I am thirsty. Then will the thirsty just sit around waiting for the water to come to their mouth? Since there is a water tap in that house and water is easily available, even then we have to get up, get a glass, fill it with water, and take the glass up to the mouth and take the sips and swallow them. This does not happen by just sitting around. So desiring alone is not enough. True desire is seen in the striving to get what we desire. Likewise, when a person says, I wish to be guided, then just doesn't do anything for it, or just waits for it to happen, it will not just come to them. The desire should make the person get up and make the effort to get the guidance. If one doesn't get up and strive to gain what they desire, then that means there is no desire. Otherwise, they would have strived to get it. We see the desires of man every day. People desire to fulfill their needs. They wake up 5 in the morning, drive through rush hour to go to work so they can fulfill their desire of earning and fulfilling their needs. Desire is something that should make us strive and do something. The day someone has true desire of guidance, they will not sit quietly. That day they will run and strive and look and search for guidance and will ask Allah for guidance. If, that is, the desire is there. If one says they desire guidance but doesn't do anything in gaining it, that means the desire isn't there. Then they are lying. There was desire of money, so you go and work and say they desire Quran, but don't do anything to get it. If we say we desire and do not make an effort to get it, then it's only talk and nothing else. So these young men had faith, so Allah increased them. We also learn they took the steps towards Allah, then Allah increased them in guidance. When a person takes one step to Allah, Allah comes to them with 10 steps. Every step one takes to Allah, every step becomes easier. How does Allah increase in guidance? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes doing good deeds easy because Allah is becoming nearer. If you walk to Allah, He comes to you with speed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, they had faith in their Lord, then they gained guidance. So they took the first step, then Allah increased them in faith and guidance. In Bukhari, in regards to this ayah, we learn that faith increases and decreases, and faith fluctuates. Faith is like a plant that withers away if not watered or cared for. Zidnahum huda means they already had guidance, and Allah increased their level of guidance. How does this happen? When one turns to Allah and runs to Allah. So faith and guidance increases the more faith one has. That increases in guidance. Every step towards goodness, every next step becomes easier. As we see, taking the first step is usually difficult, and every step after that becomes easier. Just as being students, the first class seemed very difficult when we have to sit for some time. The second and the third class also feels difficult, but the fourth and the next classes become easier. Then it becomes such that one cannot spend a week without class. Allah makes it easier and easier. Allah increases in guidance. A person should worry about their faith and increase if not being satisfied at their current level. It can easily decrease if try not to increase it. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ And we tied their hearts. They were young men, possibly in the early 20s. So when they saw their people persistent upon disbelief, and the king forcing them to leave their faith, the king had called them to his court, and when he found these young men were not honoring nor venerating their idols, nor bowing in worship to them, they became fearful. They were going opposite in direction of their society, which is a very difficult thing to do, to go against the tide. It is very difficult to do the opposite of what the rest of the society is doing. We ourselves do not have the courage to go against the trends of the society, even in small matters. As it was previously mentioned, that whatever was the religion of the king, that was the religion of the people. And it was not acceptable for anyone to adopt a religion or ideology other than the king's. This was considered treachery, and traitors were dealt with harshly, even killed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made their fearful hearts firm. They were threatened to be killed if they didn't leave their belief. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarded them emotionally and calmed their hearts, made their hearts firm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in Surah Hameem Sajda. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ Indeed, those who say, Our Lord is Allah, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا Then they remained firm and steadfast upon it. Here we see cause and effect. So when a believer does this, then تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ Descends upon them the angels. أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا And tell them that do not you fear and nor you grieve. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ And good news to you with the Jannah which you are promised. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ We are your protecting friends in this life. In this life, they put calmness in the believers' hearts and make the hearts firm. Allah descends the tranquility upon their hearts. Why? Because these are the ones who say, We believed in Allah, and they do not turn back nor compromise, nor they make excuses that they cannot obey His commands. When they become steadfast, then Allah strengthens their hearts. إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ When they stood up and when they said, Our Lord and Sustainer is Lord of the heavens and the earth, we cannot invoke or call on to any others besides Him. He is our Lord, and if we even consider and make from besides Him any other deities or gods, لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطًا Certainly then, we would have said something excessive and far from truth. So when the king called them to his court, they were frightened, and it was a big matter as they had gone against his religion. So when they stood in front of the king, they needed to be strong. Allah strengthened their hearts. Then they said, Our Lord is one who is Lord of heavens and the earth. We will never worship or call on to anyone else besides Him. And if we do that, then we would have said a big lie. This is one meaning. Secondly, it is explained to be at the time when the king's soldiers came to punish them, and they prepared to flee. They said, "We will never worship these false gods. Our Lord is Lord of heavens and the earth, and no one else is worthy to be worshipped." So it is possible they said this when they were fleeing. We can imagine when an announcement was made for their capture and they had to flee. How were their hearts? As when a police goes after someone, would be the condition of their heart. This is why they are mentioned in the Quran. Are reading about the fact that Allah tied and strengthened their hearts, we can only imagine what was the condition of their hearts, how their hearts were filled with fear and panic. What do we learn from this? When hearts are terrified, then only Allah can make them tranquil and calm and strong. Only Allah can do that. If our hearts even feel fear or worry for any reason, then we should look to Allah to strengthen and calm our hearts, as He did for the companions of the cave. Some stresses and worries are such that cause restlessness of the hearts. So this is one meaning. The Mufassirin give another explanation in regard to Itqamu, when they stood up. In other words, when they took a stand against worshipping anyone else besides Allah. So when they took a stand not to live among their people anymore, they said, "Rabbuna as-samawati wal-ard." This is another explanation. A third explanation the Mufassirin give is that since they were the sons of elites of the city, upon leaving the city, they gathered in a place and were standing, as they didn't know each other previously. And when they found each other sitting apart from their people, one of them said, "I believe that our Rabb or Lord is Lord of the heavens and the earth, and I will not worship anyone else besides Him. And if we call onto others as gods, then we would have made a big mistake." If it was said in the court of the king, we see they did not say what the other people said was excessive, and they were the wrongdoers, and that they were the ones far from the truth. But they said it for themselves. They said, "If we said that there were other gods, then we would have uttered a falsehood, a big lie, rather than calling others liars." We learned this wisdom in doing da'wah, not verbally attacking others directly. We must speak the truth, but with wisdom. If the young men had addressed in a manner of blame, they would not have listened to them. هَٰؤُلَاءِ قَوْمُنَا. Here they are speaking among themselves. These are people. Here shows their concern for their people by saying, "Our people." What have they done? اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً. They have adopted and taken from besides Allah other deities or gods. This shows their firmness in faith. They spoke the truth in front of the king. And speaking the truth in front of a king is considered a big jihad. Now they are saying, "What are our people doing? There is no proof for this shirk or associating partners with Allah." لَوْلَا يَأْتُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِسُلْطَانٍ بَيِّنٍ. Why don't they bring a clear proof? This is their conversation among each other, saying, "Why are our people doing this, while there is no proof for it?" فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنِ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. So who is more unjust than one who fabricates a lie upon Allah? There is no proof base for those who do shirk. Those who worship idols, there is no proof in heavens nor earth, nor something comprehensible by the intellect, nor any prophet enjoined with this, nor any book. Even then they worship others besides Allah. What can be a bigger lie than this? This is a slander against Allah. This topic is mentioned repeatedly in this surah, fabricating a lie about Allah and saying about Him without knowledge. We previously learned in Ayah 5, مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ وَلَا لِأَبَائِهِمْ كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ إِن يَقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا. They say such a big lie and fabricating against Allah without any knowledge. This is a big injustice. Everyone must be careful about saying something untrue about Allah before making comments or saying things about deen. When people say this is not in the Quran, this is no hadith, denying while not even knowing what is in the Quran. This is a big matter. One shouldn't say anything unless they are sure that a certain matter is in the Quran. If what we say is not what Allah has said, then it is fabricating a lie against Allah.